Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 239. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate and Pete Peterson again in studio?
Back for the attack.
Man, 2 weeks in a row.
Yep. Man. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming in.
Not a problem.
Sean's missing it. He's your greatest fan.
He listens, though, doesn't he? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. he listens.
Yeah, the next day he said he listened to the episode. Mm-hmm. So he told us, good job. I said, well, of course. I mean, what do you think? Yeah. No, we appreciate you coming in, Pete, again. Mm-hmm. You know, filling in, so helps out.
Not a problem.
Like I said. Yeah.
Nothing but a good time.
Like Nate said, having three of us, it works better than just two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I get that.
Yeah. So how's the week going for you guys?
It's going all right, yeah. Starting a new job. Well, like,
right.
I'm still with the same company, just a new spot. Yeah. Back to a job site that I was at prior, probably about a month ago. We have a overhead crane rail system to put in. So, standing columns and connecting beams and
fun stuff. Fun.
All that fun stuff. So, mm-hmm. be there for couple few weeks.
Sounds good.
Nice.
I'm glad you're doing it, not me.
I'm not a heights guy. I couldn't do it.
I'm actually running the Broderson, which is like a little mini crane.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what is that?
It sounds like a mini marathon or something. I'm running the Broderson. Why aren't you?
I'm the only one that has any experience of operating one. So.
Oh, okay.
So my boss is like, yeah, you run the Broderson. It's like, okay.
Nice. Good. What about you, Pete? What's your week been like?
Pretty good. I was rocking out to some 80s hair metal on the way here. So 80s, nice. 90s hair metal. So I hadn't listened to that station on Pandora in a while. So
nice.
Nice to refresh it. Go back to the youth.
Yeah. 80s and 90s metal. You can't beat it.
No.
Nope. That is the best. Man, I haven't listen to the radio or my iTunes in forever. It's just podcast after podcast. So I need to rock out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I jump back and forth. Like I'll listen to some podcast stuff and then I'll listen to music. Then I won't listen to anything. Sometimes I like silence. Just listen to the motor and the tires on the road.
Yeah, I do that every once in a while.
So. It's like when I cut the grass, I don't put like earbuds in or anything. I see a lot of people cutting the grass with earbuds. I'm like, no, just that white noise just kind of drowns everything else out, whether you had a crap day or not, or you're just kind of like cutting the grass.
I'm 50-50 with that too.
Yeah, I've done both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, so the earbuds in. And
sometimes I listen to some White Snakes.
Nice.
Mow the lawn.
Nice. That's funny. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I used to do that. I would either throw a podcast in or music. A lot of times music just because it's louder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the podcast depends on how, you know, who's running the sound, their tech engineer. They didn't have the sound loud enough. And I'm like, I've got it cranked up and I can't hear it. So I just went with music. So, well, good. I'm glad you guys are having a good week.
Mm-hmm.
How's your week going?
My week is tiring, but it's good. It's been a good week.
Good.
I think so. I'm going to say it is. Yeah.
He's manifesting a good week. I'll take it.
I think it is.
Yeah, we're only halfway through, so.
Yeah, great.
Keep it rolling.
No, just, yeah, it's been all right. Same old, nothing bad, nothing good. Just
Maintaining,
average.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
Sometimes that's the best thing that you can do.
Yep, pretty much. So, whoa.
Ooh.
Hello there.
Somebody is on a camera.
Uh-oh. somebody's one of our fans trying to sneak in, trying to.
Is it Sean crashing the party?
It's Sean. Tell him, hey, next week.
That's probably one of the boys going out to the car.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, I'm glad you guys are having a good week. Hope the creepies are having a good week whenever they're listening to this episode. So let's get to the first sponsorship.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Micah, for your sponsorship. We appreciate it.
Always and forever.
And forevermore. We love Micah.
Yep. Fantastic product, as always.
Yeah.
Still using mine.
Still using it.
Oh, yeah. Got a little bit goes a long way.
Got the ho-ho-ba. Mm-hmm. What was it that you said, Pete, that you heard on that one
commercial? Oh, last week?
Yeah.
Yo-ho-ba.
Yo-ho-ba.
Like, is it for pirates?
Yo-ho-ba. Yo-ho. I was trying to think about that. Yo-ho-ba, that's right.
And then you brought up a translation.
Oh, it was the Wikipedia pronunciation, and it said it was the accent.
Ha-ho-ba?
Ha-ho-ba.
So ha-ho-ba, yeah.
Yeah. It's so still a mystery.
We don't know.
We don't know. Ho-ho-ba.
We'll never know what it is. But one thing I'm going to say, yo-ho-ba doesn't sound right.
No.
Not
no.
with the Y.
Nope.
I can go with ho-ba or ho-ho-ba, but not yo-ho-ba.
Or yo-ho.
You could always buck the trend and go hard J, Jojo-ba. Yeah.
Jojo-ba.
Yeah. Sounds like a Star Wars character.
Oh, gosh. It makes me think of that. What was that? Jar Jar Binks?
Jar Jar. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I've cast those movies out of my brain. They don't exist.
Anyway. Well, thanks, Micah. We do appreciate your sponsorship, as always. And take it from Nate. Go get you some.
Yeah.
Fantastic product, he says. So we'll go with that. Now, we are to the point. It is not the dad joke of the show, but the dad riddle of the show. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
I am always ready.
Creepies, are you ready? All right. They said yes. What breaks yet never falls, and what falls yet never breaks? What breaks yet never falls, and what falls yet never breaks?
Water?
No.
Dang.
I have a feeling I've heard this before. Sounds very familiar.
Breaks.
Read
that
again.
Do what?
Read it again.
What breaks yet never falls, and what falls yet never breaks?
I'm stuck on like some kind of water answer, like the tide, the ocean. I'm just locked in, and it's not going to be the right one. So,
what does Sean usually always say when I would do a joke or a riddle? Well, he'd always say something.
Time.
Time. Yeah. No, it's not time, Sean.
General Moses Cleveland.
We're just talking about this. Most of these are usually on the nose. Don't overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot think of anything.
You give up.
I give up.
You officially give up?
I'm tapping.
Pete, I'm tapped out.
You're tapping.
I'm stuck on water stuff, and that is not the answer. So.
And it's not time. Day and night.
Yep.
Day and night.
Nice. Nice. Very nice.
There you go. That is the dad riddle of the show. And as always, you are welcome.
Daybreak, nightfall.
Nightfall.
Yep. Daybreak and nightfall.
Man.
Stumped all right. You.
Move on.
Move.
That wasn't even close.
No, it was not water. But I like where I like where you're going with that.
I was going waves.
Yeah.
Falls. I don't know. Waves break.
That's true. Falls, yeah, I get it. I get it. Just went right.
Wrong again.
Wrong again, Pete. All right. That's
just like grade school, going over my paper with a red pen, and like somebody bled on it.
Nate, do you want to read the first announcements?
Oh, I sure can. We always come together every week and try to have a fun guy time and talk paranormal fun stuff.
We do.
But most importantly, we like to drive this message out there. If you're having any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know is experiencing, you could call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741. And some kind people will be there to answer the other side of that line and help you out.
24/7,
365. Yep, that's right.
So take care of yourself. Look for that help. Ask for that help. And don't be silent. Break the silence.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit back and think you're going to bug somebody. Mm-mm. Just reach out to the professionals, or if you just need somebody to vent to, or just you need a good word or whatever, encouragement, reach out to the group too. But we're definitely not professionals, so if it's deeper than that, then yes,
we will
do the 988 or the 741. Yeah,
we will direct you to make those phone calls.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody so you can be the someone they reach out to down the road, maybe. You know?
Absolutely. That's right. And like Nate said a while back, these numbers can actually help you help somebody, how to listen or how to answer maybe some questions, give advice. So I think that's the cool part of it too. It goes both ways.
Yep. Yep, how to start the conversation and what kind of help you can offer them, that kind of stuff. They will help you with that.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thanks, Nate, for reading the first announcements.
Yep, my pleasure.
And now we're going to get to the part where I'll read this part, what we're going to talk about tonight. And it is Glom's Castle. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic. Glom's Castle, and it is my choice. So I'm bragging about it. It is. It's my choice.
Did it have a thumbs down on Facebook Messenger?
Did it? Yeah.
No.
Not this time.
Not on mine.
Okay.
just when it's my topic.
That is not true, Nate. That is not true. Maybe it is, though.
I have the text that shows it.
Nate's like, daggone, every time I choose something, it has a thumbs down. Oh, man. I'll just say, I've never. I just sent it to you because, of course, I didn't send it to Sean. So I don't know if that's on his or not. So anyway, I'm going to read the little foundation here for Glom's Castle. Glom's Castle is situated beside the village of Glom's in Angus, Scotland. It is the home of the Earl of Strathmore and Kinghorn and is open to the public. Glom's Castle has been the home of the Lyon family since the 14th century, though the present building dates largely from the 17th century. Glom's Castle was the childhood home of the late Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. Her second daughter, Princess Margaret, was born there on the 21st of August, 1930. And the castle is protected as a Category A listed building, and the grounds are included on the inventory of gardens and design landscapes in Scotland, the National Listing of Significant Gardens. So there you go, Glom's Castle. Just a little foundation for you. So basically, it's old.
Very old and very beautiful.
And mm-hmm. I like on here on the Wikipedia, it says the materials used, stone.
What?
I, can really? You believe it? Yeah, stone.
You know.
I thought, you know.
Those log castles are usually what you see.
Yeah. I thought, you know, vinyl siding or something.
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Sandcastle.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. So Glom's Castle. Who wants to get into this, a little bit of history of it? Man, it is old, by the way.
As you're alluding to, the current and only owners have been the Bose Lyons family, which I assume all those folks that you mentioned are mm-hmm. from that family.
Mm-hmm.
Were awarded the land by Robert the Bruce in 1372. For services to his throne.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's been in the family for a long, long time. I think that's really cool that Princess Margaret was birthed there mm-hmm. in 1930.
Yeah, it is.
Just,
I've read that it's often called Scotland's, of course, most haunted castle.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
But also Scotland's most beautiful castle.
Oh,
so you kind of like got two sides pulling at each other there, the mm-hmm. creepy haunted stuff, and it is beautiful, like Nate said. It's, you looked at all the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really neat. It's definitely when you think of a castle, you're like, yep, that's a castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's undertaken many renovations throughout the years and centuries. See, when Mary Queen of Scots visited the castle in 1562, the east wing was dominated by the main tower erected in 1435. At this time, the castle was enclosed with a fortified courtyard. So it has a courtyard.
Nice. Mm. Always nice to have a courtyard.
And then, let's see, during the 17th century, more additions were made to the castle. The west wing was erected, and a small northeast wing was added to house the chapel. So it has its own chapel.
Hmm.
Walls surrounding the castle and surrounding buildings were all removed during this time and were replaced by elaborate sculptures and a courtyard.
Nice.
So they opened the walls.
So they opened the walls. Okay. Gotcha.
Seems like it's growing more modern as time passes, and it's not quite the cold, dark castle that everybody pictures in your head. And like, no, people actually are going to live here. And it's going to be somewhat modern.
I'd definitely love to visit it, that's for sure.
And they're probably figuring, like, okay, well, we got these walls, but, you know, people have ladders, so mm-hmm. they don't really keep anybody out, per se.
In 1034, Malcolm II was murdered at Glom's, where there was a royal hunting lodge. And in William Shakespeare's play Macbeth, from 1603 to 1606, the eponymous character resides at Glom's Castle, although the historical king Macbeth had no connection to the castle.
Hmm.
Hmm.
But like I said, this goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I often hear people saying that, I'd always love to live in a castle. I'd love to live in a castle. And sometimes it pops up on my internet feed. And but would you really like to? Because, like, they'll describe what life in a castle in medieval time was really like. I mean, it's cold. There was really not a whole lot comfortable. Like seating or beds or anything like that. It's drafty. There's no plumbing. There's, like, the light is from candles and lanterns and... It's like, I'm sure some people would like that, but it's just an odd thing. I mean, yeah, I love castles are awesome because they're historic and mm-hmm. they're giant and it's an amazing work of architecture. But I don't know that I'd want to live in one in that time period.
Yeah. No,
without any modern conveniences.
No, yeah. No.
Every room had a fireplace, typically, and even that. I mean, depending on the size of the room, I mean,
didn't put much heat out.
Warmth would be by the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't heat the entire room, because I know we went to, what's that over in Asheville? The Biltmore.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in their big, grand banquet hall area, there is I believe, if memory serves, like three huge fireplaces down the one wall.
Mm-hmm.
Even looking at that, I mean, yeah, you could have huge bonfires in there, but it was a big room.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, yeah, nothing was smaller than that. Yeah. yeah, I don't think I'd want to live in a castle either. Visit it, sure.
Yeah.
Tour it, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Not live in it.
No. No.
not back then. And probably not now.
Yeah, because I imagine
really renovate it.
When it gets cold.
It's cold.
Well, I mean, they used to use bed heater pan things.
Yeah, like they'd a bed throw, warmer. Yeah, yeah, like hot
coals
in it.
In it, yeah, and yeah. Then, you know, the servant would load it up and put it in the bed and warm it up.
Yeah. In 1900, Lady Elizabeth Bowes Lyon was born, the youngest daughter of Claude Bowes Lyon, 14th Earl of Strathmore and Kinghorn, and his wife, Cecilia. She spent much of her childhood at Glamis, which was used during the First World War as a military hospital. Yeah, she was particularly instrumental in organizing the rescue of the castle's contents during a serious fire on the 16th of September, 1916. On April 26, 1923, she married Prince Albert, Duke of York, second son of George V.
Is that two E's in V?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Is that the, that'd be the, what, fifth?
Yes.
Yeah, fifth.
At Westminster Abbey. Their second daughter, Princess Margaret, was born at Glamis Castle in 1930, as we said. So, yeah, military hospital. Huh.
Hmm. You would assume there's got to be some spirits hanging around from that period. I mean, every period, obviously, but...
Oh, yeah.
When you're a hospital during a war, especially, well, what was the war to end all wars, might have seen a lot of pretty nasty stuff and suffering. And
yep. It's been around for over 650 years. Man, that's crazy.
Almost as long as this podcast.
A friend of mine visited Scotland, and she said that she saw a lot of the castles, and she was talking about the last name, like the Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, so when you mentioned that, I'm like, oh, okay, it's all coming together now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she says she was going to see, she was asking if what we're going to talk about, and I said Glamis Castle, and she's like, I have to go see if we visited that, because they've got a lot of pictures, and her mom wrote where they visited, so I said, well, probably the most famous one there, so
yeah,
probably
yeah.
Did.
So famous, it's on some of the money. It's the reverse side of 10-pound notes issued by the Royal Bank of Scotland.
Oh.
When your house is on money, I think you've made it.
You've made it. Yeah.
Looks like you made it.
Anything else on the history before we get into the creepiness?
No. Not really. I mean, not anything that we've already discussed. It's old.
It is old.
And it's really cool.
And it is really cool.
I like it. I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy it. Nate's going to buy Glamis Castle.
It does have the clock tower houses the castle's archives, a wide range of historical material relating to the castle and the Bowes and Lyons families. And that would be kind of cool to dig through that.
That would
for
be.
A couple hours, you know.
That would be. Yeah, no doubt.
That room's off limits.
Probably is.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
What's your last name?
Yeah.
No, you can't go in there.
You're not, yeah.
You don't get in here.
My name's Glamis. No.
Ain't wrong.
No, it's pronounced Glamis.
Yeah.
You can't come in.
Oh, my gosh, Glamis. All right, yeah, 650 years or so, or whatever this says. So it has a lot of history, and it's going to have a lot of paranormal, that's for sure.
I think most castles do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost of a young page boy haunts the Queen Mother's sitting room. He was known for his mischief, and to try and discipline him for his frequent transgressions, he would be told to sit on a stone seat to think about what he had just done wrong. That's all they have, a stone seats. Yeah.
What kind of punishment
bed,
is that?
Yeah.
Chair,
he's like,
table.
Okay. On one frigid winter night, he was again made to sit on the stone. Eventually, everyone retired to their beds, forgetting to dismiss the little boy from the seat, and for once, he obeyed and remained seated. Sadly, he froze to death during the night, and he was found the following day still sitting on the stone. Today, his ghost, still mischievous, has a habit of sticking out a foot to trip up any unwary visitors as they enter the room. Wow.
Hmm. One time he listens.
The one time.
Jeez.
That's Chelsea. Commitment.
Yeah.
No kidding. That is terrible.
He told me to sit here, and I'm going to sit here.
That is a terrible story.
And how bad do you feel when you wake up the next morning and go, oh, crap.
No kidding.
Go check on him.
Oops.
He's dead. That is terrible. That is terrible.
That's wow. Terrible.
So there you go. Ghost of little boy.
Hmm. What about the woman without a tongue?
Oh.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Oh, look at us, Nate.
Read it to us like you have no tongue.
Yeah, yeah, you have to read it like
You don't want me to do that. I have hard enough time talking with my tongue. Perhaps the most reported, indeed the most chilling, is the ghost of the woman with no tongue. She has been seen wandering around the grounds, pointing at her badly wounded face. She has also been seen looking out from a barred window within the castle. It is not clear who this spirit might be or what may have happened to her.
Hmm.
But she's there.
She's there. No tongue, huh?
No. Oh,
that would, man.
That'd be, just see her at the foot of your bed, just kind of sitting there, and then all of a sudden she opens her mouth, nothing. Mm. Just, oh, freak, creepy.
And you can't, she can't say anything tongue in cheek.
I mean, oh. Sorry. Where's our sound effects, Nate? Our rim shot.
I had to say it. I had to go there.
It was there.
I had to go there.
Unlike her tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Be what you have.
I got the Monster of Glamis.
Uh-oh.
The most famous legend connected with the castle is the Monster of Glamis, a hideously deformed child born to the family. Some accounts came from singer and composer Virginia Gabriel, who stayed at the castle in 1870. In the story, the monster is kept in the castle all of his life, and his suite of rooms is bricked up after his death. Another monster is supposed to have dwelt in Loch Calder near the castle. They don't really say much about that part, about the actual like monster, but this was believed to be a child born with a gross deformities that they didn't, it was improper to show him, and he just locked him in this castle and or locked him in this room. And then throughout the years, as the legend goes on and on and on, it was only like family members knew where the secret room was and what was in it. And if you even could get into it, like people would ask, and I don't know, we don't know anything about it. And one group had, in attempt to find it, they hung blankets in all the windows they could find and then went outside, look up at the castle and then say, okay, which ones don't have blankets in them? That must be the room.
Oh yeah.
They didn't find anything. They couldn't make it work. So, but no, it's, and then it said he also had been like extremely long lived too.
Oh,
that he was basically the heir to the estate and the castle and everything the family owned, but because of his hideous deformity, they didn't want him to be that to be made public. So that was kind of like the worst punishment they could. I mean, so just lock him up and don't even, you know, let his existence be known.
Yeah. That's sad.
Because he was first born, he was rightfully the heir.
Mm-hmm.
So they made him disappear so that it would remove him from being heir to the throne.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And his rooms were walled off, still undiscovered to this day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really believe that with all the technology that we have.
I'm wondering that too.
There was a theory that it was could possibly not be the hideously deformed child, but they kind of taken in another turn where it was this rival clan called the Ogilvies, and they came one night to the castle looking for shelter, and they said, oh yes, come on in. And they showed them to this secret room and then like locked the doors behind them and let them starve to death in there. And that's what the secret room is. And that's what the secret itself is, as opposed to this hideously deformed first heir child. So
gotcha.
A heck of a way to deal with nosy neighbors, I guess.
No kids.
Oh, come on. Yeah, come on in. Let's go in this room here. And
this
slam.
Is saying, it wasn't until years later that the skeletons of the Ogilvies were discovered after noises were heard coming from the now sealed room. To this day, visitors often feel extremely uneasy in this room.
I guess it's not a secret if there's visitors in the room.
No, they
maybe they opened it up.
Found that one.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, that's sad. That's another sad story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and it makes
me think.
A
bad treatment here.
When we were talking earlier about, you know, it's exactly what a castle, you would think a castle is. It's got everything that, you know, in your brain would say, oh, that's a castle. But if you think about, like, every castle that you guys have talked about on this podcast or that, you know, I've watched on TV or something like that, there's usually something about some kind of hidden chamber or room and a legend associated with it. I mean, it goes as far as like the Harry Potter, you know, Order of the Phoenix where it was, the Room of Requirement. That was it, where it, you know, the special secret room that only appears to certain people. And, you know, so it's like, that's a whole part of this castle lore is secret passages, secret rooms, which is super cool. I mean, that's why you go to castles. We have to find the secret room, the secret passage behind the fireplace.
Where's the dungeon?
That's what I like.
I know it's there.
Yeah. That's what I want to see, the dungeon. Mm-hmm. Terrible atrocities have happened there, but I want to see it.
There better be bones down here.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's cool. So, that's a lot of mistreatment so far.
Yeah.
They say there's at least 6 ghosts that are known to wander its rooms and corridors. One of them haunts the atmospheric crypt, reached via connecting door from the splendid dining room. It instantly transports visitors from the stately opulence of the Victorian era to the more austere days of the Middle Ages. Oh, I thought they were going to say Middle Ages and creeped out. Behind one of the thick stone walls exists a secret chamber around which are woven many legends. Here, one of the lords of Glamis, Earl Beardy, I guess, as he was known, was playing cards with the tiger, Earl of Crawford, and was reluctant to give up the game, even though the Sabbath was rapidly approaching. No sooner than the clock had chimed midnight than the devil appeared and asked to join the game. Oh, there's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The rash Earl Beardy promptly gambled away his soul and died shortly after. For many years, the sounds of cursing and swearing were heard echoing from the room at night, and in an attempt to quell the disturbance, the chamber was bricked up. But the foul-mouthed phantom could not be confined, and his fearsome specter is still said to roam the castle in the dead of night. There are several reports of guests waking to him, leaning over their beds, gazing at them with evil intent.
Ooh.
Mm. That would be creepy.
Yeah.
That would be creepy.
But if you wake up and you see him, do you play cards with him?
Hmm.
Then get out the deck of cards and let's see what he's got.
Well, I don't play cards, but I play Uno, so I could throw a mean game of Uno at him.
Just
sounds like he's not very good.
Draw 4, sucker.
Yeah. Stack him. Stack him.
That's right. So there you go. The devil wanted to play some cards. Hmm.
How about the Gray Lady Ghost?
Not the Gray Lady.
Of Glamis.
You just want to throw that Glamis in there, don't you? Uh-huh. And you're saying Glamis, too.
Yeah.
At least say Glamis.
Glamis. Glamis. Believe it to be the ghost of Lady Glamis, Janet Douglas, who was burned at the stake for being supposed witch in 1537.
Oh.
So I wonder if that might have been what accusations were of that tongueless lady.
Could be.
Her first husband was John Lyon, Lord Glamis.
He's just
going to do it now.
He's just gonna.
I just say whatever comes to my mind first. It's Glamis, right?
No, you know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Glamis.
Glamis. Okay. The eye really throws me.
When you see it, it does Glamis. Throw you.
All right.
Oh, boy.
So Lord Glamis, with whom she had a son also named John. She was accused of poisoning him upon his death in 1528, but she was cleared of the crime and was free to marry her second husband, Archibald, I love that name, Campbell of Skipness.
Hmm. Hmm.
However, in July 1537, she was accused of conspiring to poison King James V of Scotland and communicating with her brothers, who were part of several conspiracies against the king. Although the allegations were false, she was sent to Edinburgh Castle dungeon with her husband, who escaped but was later killed. James could not find any evidence to convict her, so he tortured her family and servants in a bid to find the truth. Mm. Janet was later convicted and burned at the stake on July 17th, 1537, at Castle Hill, Edinburgh. In addition to haunting Glam's castle, visitors to Edinburgh Castle may meet her ghost, as she's known to visit the site of her death, too.
Mm.
I had read something else that she, when I think she married her first husband, the Earl of Lyons, or whatever his title was, that...
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, that...
Glam's.
She was from a family that they didn't really like that much, and this was all kind of a plot just to, you know, make her look bad because her family wasn't liked by the Lyons family. And it just, oh, you know, she's a witch, she's this, she's that, and all these just trumped up charges until finally they were just like, okay, burn her at the stake, she's a witch. It's like, wow.
That's what they did.
Yep. Yeah, if they didn't like you, they'd find a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Any reason, mm-hmm. You know.
Sometimes the reasoning is the king just says, throw him in the dungeon.
Be done with him.
Yep. Take him out of my sight. I don't want to see him. Make him disappear.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Pete, you were talking about the family that was thrown in the, locked in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they, I think it was the Lindsays. Was it?
I just read it. The Ogilvies.
Ogilvies. Is that the... Okay. Anyway, says, noises, loud moans, and sudden bangs are often reported to be witnessed in the castle where this room is. Cries and groans echo through its cold stone passages, evening after evening for hundreds of years after this has happened. These reached their peak 150 or so years ago when the Earl decided it was time to put an end to them. One particular night, dreaded night, he and some staff set off to follow the noises. He followed them to a room with an ancient wooden door in an area of the castle where a few people ventured. Turning the key, he slowly opened the heavy door. What he saw made him drop back into the arms of his companions in a dead faint. The door was quickly locked and would later be bricked up. Wow. Afterwards, no matter how tenacious the line of questioning, the Earl would never speak of what he saw. So, crazy.
Kind of like when we talked about the Queen Mary last week, and how they have the Halloween events. They have Halloween events at Glam's. You can get tours. Ghosts of Glam's, Prepare to be Scared, as our popular Halloween event returns. So yeah, they kind of lean into it sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
and really depends on the time. Like, you get in the spooky season, you might as well. And some, you know, after dark tours, you never know what you're going to see. I mean,
yeah,
it's all the legends, but who knows who's going to make an appearance when you're touring through the castle on Halloween or around Halloween.
That's right. I think places like this should lean into the,
oh yeah,
the paranormal and the history of it. Yep. So I would, that's for sure. Nate, well, when you buy it, you're going to do mm-hmm. that. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know it.
Well, we're not sure what he's going to call it. I mean, he'll... What else you guys have on the creepiness? Because I've got a few things here.
Go for it.
Did we talk about the Square Tower already?
No.
In the 1912 book, Scottish Ghost Stories, author Elliot O'Donnell writes of a haunting that was witnessed by Miss McKinney in the late 19th century. Traveling in late autumn, she arrived at Glam's in what she described as the most frightful blizzard. Happy to be inside the warmth of Glam's 16-foot-thick castle walls, wow, Her bags were taken to a room in the oldest part of the castle, the Square Tower. During that evening's dinner party, the conversation between guests soon turned to ghosts and, in particular, the hauntings associated with Glamis. Although she was enjoying the topic, she did take the stories with a healthy pinch of salt and paid no heed to them. The evening drew close to Miss McGinney, and she retired to her room, her long day's travel having caught up with her. She soon fell soundly asleep. As the evening had gone on, the blizzard had abated, the winds had died down, and all was still. Now the gloom of the night had passed, but her room was bathed in moonlight and was deathly quiet. Sound asleep, she was shortly awoken by a loud noise. Given she'd been in a heavy sleep, she took a few seconds to find her bearings. Aware that she had been there, lost my spot here. Aware that there had been a commotion, but unsure what it was or where it emanated from, she strained to see in the darkness to help her understand her situation. As she gradually came to, she couldn't shake the feeling she wasn't alone in her room, and in her words, I became afraid, and irrepressible tremor pervaded my frame, my teeth chattered, and my blood froze. She sat upright in her bed, listening intently to the silence. Soon she could hear a noise in the distance, a noise she described as the footsteps of someone wearing chainmail, footsteps that were drawing even closer. She could now hear clanging and banging noises, and the footsteps quickened. She realized what she was hearing, a fight with an aggressor and a defender. Then she realized the noises were happening directly outside the door to her room. It sounded to her like a battle to the death between two skilled warriors. She could hear weapons clash, the sounds of two men moving back and forth, vying for supremacy on the wooden floor as they evaded blows and attacked each other, and she could hear grunts and heavy breathing from the effort of battle. She then heard what she claimed to be the sound of an axe cutting through a helmet, the sound of a body slumping against her door, and then the body being dragged away. On opening the door, she saw nothing, no trail of blood, no fallen warrior, nothing. What did she hear that evening? Is it possible that what she witnessed were the echoes of battle fought hundreds of years prior being relived on her night in Glamis? That's crazy.
Wow. That's a full night.
That is that's a crazy story.
Jeez.
No kidding.
Did either of you know that the castle was nearly not built?
No.
No.
Did not know that.
Yeah, because of supernatural interference.
Oh.
A legend says that it was planned to be built on a nearby hill. But every morning when the builders returned to the site, they found that the stones were scattered and broken. They rebuilt the walls, but each day the same things happened. Eventually, a supernatural voice warned them, "Build not on this enchanted spot, where man hath neither part nor lot, but build down in yonder bog, where it will neither shake nor shog." The instruction was followed, and Glamis Castle was constructed on the flat terrain where it remains today. These inhabitants on Hunter's Hill are thought to be fairy folk who wanted no human interference on their site. Another name for this hill is Fairy Pans, and it is thought that this comes from a time when great ritual fires blazed on the summit.
Don't anger the fairies.
No, and they take that stuff serious.
Yes, they will. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do. They have to. They'll build bridges over.
Yep.
Areas.
Split roads around them.
Split roads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Move your castle. Don't build it here.
Yeah, right. Wow. Interesting. No, I never knew that.
Now you know.
Now we know. Pete, what do you have?
I'm just looking through like all the different things they have throughout the year, the events. I mean, it's not just the Halloween thing, but you can get married there, and their fall celebrations and all that kind of stuff. So they really kind of... And that's just on their website, too. So it's not really a lot of the legends part of it, but they really bring people in, and they're really just to talk about the history of the place and get people interested in it. And yeah. I don't know how much it would cost to have a wedding there. I'm sure it's a pretty penny, but
yeah,
probably be pretty darn beautiful.
It would be nice, and it would be expensive.
Yeah.
Both things would happen. It'd be nice, and it'd be expensive. I've got the Vampire of Glomz.
Ooh, I haven't seen that.
No. With nearly a millennia of history, tens of thousands of people will have passed through its fortified doors over the centuries. Besides modern-day tourists, hundreds, possibly thousands of servants will have worked there over the years, and a female servant with a vicious appetite is believed to have been responsible for one of the more sanguinary tales. I cannot talk tonight. It's believed that hundreds of years ago, she was caught in the act of attacking a male guest and drinking his blood. Horrified guests chased her off, but she was eventually captured and bricked up in the room, where she is said to still slumber to this day. Legend has it that her prison hasn't stopped her from trying to satisfy her bloodlust. There are stories that she's escaped on two occasions and attacked people in the castle before being recaptured. Could there really be a sleeping vampire bricked up in the walls of Glomz?
Wow. What is with bricking up people in walls?
Oh, I know. There seems to be a theme.
Yeah.
It's not working in this case.
End up with a situation and they're like, all right, brick the door.
Yeah. Just brick them up.
It doesn't seem like it's. I'm not a mason, but it doesn't seem like something you could do quickly.
No.
Yeah. It'd be, yeah. You're not gonna just.
You stay there.
You're just gonna work for a
more bricks.
We'll be back tomorrow. Just don't go anywhere.
Yeah, they'd have to chain them up or something to get them.
I was. It's kind of an offshoot on the Grey Lady story. There's a small chapel within the castle. I think they had noted that seats 46 people. The story given to visitors by castle tour guides states that one seat in the chapel is always reserved for the White Lady.
Oh, of course.
But they said it's thought to be Janet Douglas. So depending on your source, it's the Grey Lady, the White Lady. According to the guides, the chapel is still used regularly for family function, but no one is allowed to sit in that seat.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay,
I won't. I won't do it.
Gotta have rules, people. Can't make me.
Did you guys hear about the haunted cup?
No.
Ooh.
No.
Careful if you take a drink from the lion cup at Glomz Castle.
Does it run us over?
I don't know. This silver vessel is the shape of a lion, holds nearly a whole bottle of wine, and visitors were often made to drink the cup in one go before they left the building.
Hmm.
Apart from getting guests very drunk, there is a shadowy tradition that the cup has brought bad luck to the castle and its resident family. Though no one knows where the cup came from or exactly why it has such a sinister reputation. The writer, Sir Walter Scott, visited Glomz Castle in 1790 and was made to follow the custom of swallowing the contents of the cup. He was so befuddled. I like that word.
Yeah, befuddled. That's a good word, befuddled.
When he left the building, that he was set off in the wrong direction and had to be put on the right road by a couple of locals.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
A lot of vices. Drinking, gambling.
Yeah.
Not good.
Is the
walling
place,
up people.
Yeah.
Place of places, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happens. They get hammered and they're like, let's brick somebody up. Let's do
brick
it.
Brick them up.
Let's do it. Let's go for it.
Sounds like fun.
That's how they end the night, is bricking somebody up in the wall.
Why are you bricking him up? I don't like his face.
We could ask him.
He's
to
got
leave.
A face that needs to be bricked up. Yeah, yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh well. You want to end it on that? Because I don't have anything else. Those are some good stories we got.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything else, go for it. We've put a lot out there, but just I have not found anything additional.
No, nothing.
The vampire
really
was
worth
my last one.
Bringing up.
Okay. All right. There you go. Glomz Castle.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Read about it. Look at the pictures. It's a pretty cool looking castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of neat how obviously there's older sections and more modern sections, but how it transitions. And I guess they made the choice to kind of keep some of the older sections looking old. And then some of the more modern sections are like a livable home that, you know,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind right. living in at all. But right. when you get some of these older sections, like we talked about before, like, no thanks.
Yeah, it'd be a little drafty.
It kind of give you a taste of life in this castle throughout its history.
Yeah. Whew, man. Mm-hmm. And it is old. I love
650.
Love old castles.
I'm looking at some interior pictures and
I mean,
they're big rooms.
I mean,
it's, I would have to say 15 foot tall ceilings, and I mean, they're big.
Yeah. Take a lot to heat them.
Mm-hmm.
Or cool them down, whichever. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, there you go. Glom's Castle. Hope the creepies enjoyed that. Of course, Sean's not here to do his middle-aged moment or dark side, so we don't have to worry about that nonsense. I mean, we'll hear about it next that week.
Treasured moment.
That's right. Just kidding, Sean. We miss you. We love you. Shout-outs. We're two shout-outs. Nate, do you have any shout-outs this week, sir?
Oh.
Too many to mention, huh?
Shout-out to Limp Bizkit's bassist that recently passed away.
Oh, wow.
He is.
I hadn't heard.
I didn't know that.
Yep, Sam Rivers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From everything tons of people are, you know, speaking out on his behalf of how amazing of a bass player and person that he was, and he was the backbone of the band, and he was there from the very beginning. I guess he, most people tend to have a vice and hopefully can overcome it. And he did. He had a drinking problem and ended up having to have a liver transplant, I believe back in 2017. Obviously stopped drinking and all that good stuff. Came back to the band a year later. And I haven't really dove too deep into some of the stuff of, you know, reason behind his death stuff. Mm. But I suspect either he had complications with his transplant or probably cancer of some sort.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yep.
He couldn't have been too old, that's for sure.
48.
Mm. 40, I was going to say he's probably close to 50, if that, yep. Yeah. Sam Rivers, what's his
name?
Sam
Rivers, yeah.
Okay. Didn't know that. That's sad. Is that your shout-out?
Yep.
I don't want
to shout-out to him. I had my Limp Bizkit era.
Oh, yeah.
When they first came out.
Yeah, I got the CD. I didn't wear the red Yankees hat, but.
Of course not. Of course not.
I've got two shout-outs. And then, Pete, we can end it with yours. I've got two shout-outs. The first one is my childhood hero. One of my childhood heroes, Ace Frehley, passed away last week, and I was devastated because it's just another piece of my childhood died. And it's like, and he was only 74. 74 is young these days, and he had tripped and fell in the studio, I guess. And, yeah, like we were talking about before we started recording, I just thought he was recuperating and just, you know, I mean, maybe a little more than just sore, but I didn't know it was an actual brain bleed. And, they had him in a I'm here in coma, and I'm like, wait, hold on. This is kind of getting blown up here.
Ventilator.
Yeah. So I'm like, what's going on? Yeah. So Ace Frehley, lead guitarist of Kiss, one of the founding members, 74, passed away. And so the next day I wore my Kiss or my Ace Frehley t-shirt in honor of him. I've got two tattoos that honor Ace Frehley. He was just a big part of my childhood, my favorite rock star, and pretty sad. I feel bad for his fans, him, his family, his friends. So shout out to Ace. So he was one of a kind. You knew when you heard his guitar, you knew that was him. He had his own way to playing. And then a little less depressing is I got a free drink from Sonic, our unofficial sponsor.
Now they are, yeah.
$3.89 is what it cost me, and he goes, it's free. I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah. Have a good day. I go, well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Very nice.
I want to say, you guys still need to sponsor us, as I drove away.
Here's another card.
Yeah.
There some you stickers.
Go. Nice. Yeah. Not this guy again. This middle-aged guy is, he's too much, so
talks too much. Just give him the drink and send him on his way.
he's gonna keep asking for sponsorship if you don't give him food.
So anyway, shout out to Ace and shout out to Sonic. So there you go. Those are my shout outs. Pete, what about you, sir?
I'm gonna say you guys don't really get political, and it's not too political, but shout out to all the people involved in the tentative Middle Eastern peace that was achieved, the ceasefire a few weeks ago.
That's a good
horrible
one.
Deaths on both sides. We're not going to get into sides here. It's not your deal, but the fact that people got together, you know, hashed something out and saved lives and exchanged prisoners, and people are back with their families on both sides. You can't beat that. So shout out to whoever was involved with that, and shout out to the families that have their loved ones back together with them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That is a good shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it, Pete? Mm-hmm.
All yes, right. sir.
That's a good,
yes, sir.
Good one to end it on. I just want to make sure you got all your shout outs in. Nate.
Yes.
Let's do the second sponsorship.
All righty.
Hey, Creepies. Do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for your sponsorship. We appreciate it.
Go visit their store. It's awesome.
Nate goes all the time.
Nate is there all the time.
Part-time job.
Just,
all the time. Two times.
They may as well hire him.
I've been there two times.
It's weird for a live show.
I thought you were the mascot. Isn't there like a big inflatable Nate out front?
Well, I think the first time I walked in there, scared that it might catch on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tread lightly.
They thought it was a hologram. They weren't sure if it was real.
It's a paid lookalike, like Saddam Hussein. There's like thousands of Nate lookalikes that we just, show up at live events. It could be him. It might not be.
Poster cut out with a waving hand.
Yeah.
Those crazy inflatables at the car dealership with the arms that go up and down.
Oh, yeah. What are those things called?
I don't know.
They're crazy.
Crazy armed, crazy waving, whatever.
Crazy arms. Oh, we do appreciate their sponsorship, and we do love them and love their store. Mm-hmm. So go it's get fantastic. You some merchandise from them. Yeah, it is. It's the coolest store there is. So and I didn't make it out there this past Saturday. I was bummed, but oh well, I'll make it out there again. Mm-hmm. They've got a Christmas vendor fair coming up where they do it inside.
Mm. Ah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So that'll be coming up. So I might check that out. But I didn't make it out there. I was kind of bummed about it, but that's all right. I've been there more than the two times for the live shows. So I'm not to brag, but.
I'd love to go there more, but I'm always busy.
I know, Nate. We know the gig. Hey, we got it. You don't care for him. No. I'm not starting. Now here I'm starting.
You know.
Now I'm starting stuff. All right. Well, thank you again, Scott and Corey. Love you guys. I'm going to do second announcements. Follow us on our social media accounts, which are as follows: Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com, and Mako is with two A's. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Give us a 5-star rating. As Nate says, that's the only thing you can give us is 5 stars. We don't accept anything else. And leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email us or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. So order you some merch.
Merch it up, Creepies.
Yeah, get you, water bottle, coffee mug, t-shirt, sweatshirt.
The ever-present toilet seat.
Stickers. We have bookmarks. We got it all.
The ever-present toilet seat.
And I'm working on it, Pete. I'm working on it, okay?
Just give me time. They're screaming for the toilet seat.
I know they are. They're clamoring.
Yes, very good word.
Oh yeah, so go get you some merch. That is for sure. So I'm going to turn over to Nate to help us get out of here.
It's Glom's Castle. That's a wrap.
Oh, he nailed it. Man, nice. Look at him.
He's so happy with himself.
Yeah, he is pretty proud.
I was still a little unsure when I said that.
You're like, it's Glom's Castle. I hope I'm saying that right.
As he looks at Todd for approval, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, it's Glom's, right?
It's Glom's. No, it's Glam's. No.
Dang it.
Oh, well, hey, thanks, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 239 and our discussion on Glom's Castle. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.